it says for us to remember. We have just celebrated Memorial Day, and a lot of people in our country just forgot about the men and women in the service and the ones that died for them. They forgot about what really made our country great. And a lot of times Christians really forget about what the Lord has really done for them. It's easy for us to do that, but I'm glad that we're here today. And we may be able to think back, and this is Memorial. Remember what God's done for us. Has God done anything for you? I'm telling you, He certainly has for me. And that's what it's all about, what He's done for us. This memorial meal. And John chapter 13, a couple of verses of scriptures. And we find this meal is really the tie that binds us together. And being prepared for this meal. In John chapter 13, He begins to talk to His disciples. And we need to have our hearts prepared for the Lord's Supper, and I know those songs helped me do just exactly that. It helped me prepare my heart for one of the greatest services that we ever have, and that is the Lord's Supper. Remember what He done on Calvary's cross and the agony and the pain that He was willing to die. Looking down from heaven, and He's seeing this scene here this day, and seeing you and me was willing to die for us. We know the Passover meal, it was a memorial meal that Jews took every year as they was looking back to that great Passover out of Egypt. And now here we have the Last Supper, Jesus Christ with His disciples, and what we call the Last Supper. It was of that Passover because He would be the one that's going to be sacrificed, no more lambs. Then He gave a commandment. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By you coming together this night, by this shall all men know that you here tonight, that you know and people knows that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for this great love. And Father, here at this hour that people have come together to show each other and also to show the Lord that they love you, Jesus, and we know that you first loved us. And Father, I believe every person here, they wouldn't be here this night. They dearly have a love for you, Jesus, and Lord, for your presence to be with us. But not only that, for being here, Father, we know that they love one another. They love the people of God because Christ lives in their heart. So we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to love one another as you have loved us. And Father, the far parts of this scene, Lord, this night, we just pray that hearts be prepared for this meal that we need to take with you, Jesus, and what it really means. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. In those two little short verses I read three times, it says, one another. And I got to thinking about this, a tie that really binds us is the love that we have for one another. So we thank you for the present here this night. And very most important thing for this church and any church is that our love for Jesus Christ is the first and most important thing, that we love Jesus Christ, but also that we have worship with one another and we love one another. Very, very important. That is the quality of any church, that we love one another. That is the fellowship one with another. You see, this command that God will prepare our hearts in these one another. There's a lot of one another's in the New Testament if you just look through, and I just sorted out about seven of them as I began to prepare my heart before the night about one another. To start with, it spells fellowship. Each one of these, it really just spells fellowship, what we're doing here tonight, having in common. The first one says that we love one another, as I've already read that verse 35. The importance of coming to church, and it's to show that we love Jesus Christ and we love one another. A lot of people don't see the need of even concern at all about whatsoever about coming to the house of God. They don't know how far they are from Jesus Christ when they do that, because it shows your concern for Jesus Christ, your love for Jesus Christ, and also your love one for another. Very, very important. Verse 35, love one another. Now, this love is not optional. You know, He commanded it. If it had been optional, He would not have commanded it, nor is it automatic, because He have therefore commanded us to do so. But He says this is a new commandment. Well, there was a lot of commandments, was it not, in the Old Testament? There was what we call the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Yet He says this is a new commandment. Well, what is about this new commandment? Well, we love one another like Jesus Christ loves us. That is this new commandment. You know, we need to understand how much he really loved us, and that would help us a lot because it's a new quality of love, this new covenant, this new testament. Here on the table here that he shed his blood for this new testament, a new quality of love, not giving us what we deserve or what we want, but really giving us what we need. And that's the way we are for one another. We don't give one another what we need or what we really deserve, but giving us somebody, giving each other what we need is really what it's all about. But the second command, as we see here, is a command to receive one another. Receive one another. And Romans 15 and 7 tells us, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You see, the New Testament church and early church has a lot of different backgrounds of people, all that type of people. There's different type of religion and their spirituality and a social meter. There was also the Jews and the Gentiles, the slaves, the free, the rich, the poor, the young and old, the mature Christians, you see, and also the young Christian. But they came together. As we come together here this night, we all from different walks of life. We all are different. God didn't make us like eggs in a crate. We're all different. Thank the Lord for that. But it says receive one another. That's what we're doing here tonight. And I like for it whenever the Lord says, all right, get up and shake hands, receive one another. We're a receiving church, and I thank the Lord for that, but I also believe we can always make amendments of receiving one another. There's room in the family for everybody. There's room in this family for everybody. That's where it ought to be at church. At Philippi, old Paul says, you know, the intelligent class of people, the late class of people, there was a lady there, Thyatira, as he went, you know, she's a seller of purple. Her name was Lydia. And she comes to the house and said, well, hey, y'all come into my house and we'll have church. She was probably a wealthy lady because she sold this very expensive royal color. And also there was a fortune teller, a little fortune teller girl that was there. She got saved and she made up that church also. But you remember the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas began to sing to him, oh, hard-hearted old jailer. Now, he was hard-hearted, but all come together. You see, they difference in every one of our lives this hour. You know, when God moved in, you and mine, everybody that's here that's saved, you know what? God moved in a very different, special way. We was all different. God got our attention all different types of ways. You know what he done? He made up what we call the church here at Pleasant Hill. And the church as a whole is what he's done. It's moved into people's heart. You see, they had a great time. We have a great time together. They said, come, come. There's always room for us to receive one another. And you greet one another. The second thing, greet one another. In Romans 16 and 16, it says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salutes you. It says at two other places in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 16 and 20, holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13 and 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that Daryl and Cotton got to kiss one another, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not. Cotton's asleep. He don't know what I said anyway, Daryl. He don't know what I said anyway. But no, that's not what it's talking about. In the Middle East, they had a custom, or in a custom in the Middle East, and this is what that custom. Well, they still do that today. You see, a lot of time you see them on television as they greet one another in the Oriental lands there. They still do this. But you see, the way we do it today, we shake hands. You know, that's the way that we greet one another. That's our customs. You see, the holy kiss custom, sometimes they will change. But you see, what we really understand, but love doesn't never change. To love one another. It says for us, you know, to receive one another and for greet one another. When someone comes new into this church, we need to find some way to greet that person and to make them feel at home and to receive that person and to love that person for Jesus Christ. We may not always agree with them, but God didn't tell us to agree with them. He says to love one another. Now, this is a command. Hear me, all these are commands of the Lord. God's commanded us to do this. He's commanded us to love one another. He's commanded us to receive one another. He's commanded us to greet one another. Every one of these are commands, and they don't change. These commands don't change. We need to find a way, as I said, for acceptance. A lot of times it might be a hug. It might be a handshake or whatever it might be. We'll get together with one another because we have received one another. I get great power from the Lord whenever I come to church and there's people here at this church, don't y'all? I mean, I receive power from the Lord. I wish I could get more people to understand, you know, the importance of being a house of God. It is very, very, very important. Now, if you're saved, that's where you need to be. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you're saved, you need to be there. In 2 John, in 12, it says, having many things to write unto you, I will not write them with paper and ink. He says, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full. See, John says in his letter there, that 2 John, how important it is. He said, I wouldn't write to that church or write to you with paper and pen for you to read this, but I want to wait till I see you face to face. This should be for all people to understand if they are a child of God and they are a member at a certain church, no matter where it's at, that verse of Scripture tells them the importance of meeting there face to face. A lot of times people say, well, I don't see the importance. I watch television. I hear preaching on television, I have a CD. I'll tell you, there are no substitutes for not being at the house of the Lord. That's not me saying this. That's God saying this. I know people sick, and they have to from time to time. They have to watch television, and that's good. CD, whatever it might be, when they can't make it. But when you don't come, you are disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ every time that you do not come and show up when you can be here. They're very, very important. God made us different, that He might make us all alike. And that is in Christ Jesus, and also make us all as one in Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for that. And also to find a way that we might help one another. It says, that we take care of one another. We need to care for one another. Care for one another. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12:24-26, it says, for our comely parts, that means the parts talking about our body now, our body, have no need. Talking about the attractive part. God have tempered, that means put it all together to our body together, having given more abundantly honor to that part which lacketh. My body is all together. And some parts of my body, as it said, it may not be attractive. But God put all my body in the part that I need every part. Have y'all figured that out yet? My big toe don't look too good. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I need my big toe. Those comely parts. Those parts that may not be attractive. But the Lord put us together as a body. Every one of us. Then it says that there should be no shame. That is no division in the body. You can't divide the hand from the toe, from the head. It's all together in the body. But the members should have the same care one for another. If you ever stump your big toe, do you take care of it? You ever hit your finger with a hammer? Man, I tell you what, you'll nurse that thing and you'll take care of that thing because, you see, you need that part and you'll nurse it. That's what it says. That we should come together and take care one for another. Well, when some people's hurts in our church, and I thank the church that we do this, it may be a death in the family. It may be that going through sickness sometimes. It may be somebody's in the hospital. It may be going through some emotional problems, some type of stress in their life. It's awful good for us to go to that person, call them, go to them, see them, whatever you can. And, just say that I'm praying for you. I appreciate you and the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants us to do. And wherever one member suffers, it says all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Our body, you think about that. God made us all different that it might make us as one. So we need to take care of one another. And I think we do a good job, but one way that we can take care of more is our senior adults. As I said, some of those cannot be here. They may have to watch some preacher on television. They may have to see a CD once in a while. But I tell you, we ought not forget about our senior adults. We ought not forget about our senior adults. We can't do too much for them, I can tell you that right now. Don't forget our senior adults. And then it says, submit to one another. Just submit to one another. Well, no big shots. I know a lot of churches, they big shots. No little shots. All members are very, very important. Did you know I am supposed to submit to you? But did you know that you're supposed to submit to the pastor? Because we're supposed to submit one to another. This will prepare our heart for what we're fixing to do. We get through with these 7 commands of one another. I hope we understand that we should be closer and closer to the Lord all the time. But also it says, confess one to another. James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual prayer, affirmative prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults one to another. You know, it's mighty easy for us to understand that we all have faults. Now, I can see other people a lot better than I can see mine. But we all have faults, do we not? And you know, just confess, I just want to tell you, I'm just not everything that I should be for the Lord. And then it says, you know what? Confess our faults one another, but pray one for another. You see, if we don't pray and if we don't say, hey, ask forgiveness. And you know, tonight, I tell you, I just ask you to forgive me because I'm not everything that I should be as a pastor of this church. I have faults and I have failures. Every one of us in here has that. You see, if we do not ask one another to forgive us, we hold back revival and we hold back healing according to these scriptures. So I'm here to tell you tonight that I have problems. I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm not perfect. Is anybody here perfect tonight? You know, if we could just go to one another and confess our faults, I really do believe that we'd have a revival. I really do believe we'd have a revival. But that's that old pride. But as I get through here tonight, and we fix going to our Lord's Supper, forgive one another. Ephesians 4 and 32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. See, we need to take one another and ask one another to be forgiven, and we need to forgive one another. And then when that's done, you know, we need to love one another, no matter what they've done to us. So many people that say, well, I got my feelings hurt. You know, I really believe that ain't nothing but just an excuse. Because Jesus Christ, look what he done on Calvary's cross. And he stayed right there on that cross. All the command tells us that we have come to the Lord's Supper now. All the singing, God says, check your heart. All these commandments. Paul was talking about this Lord's Supper. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 16, it says, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion, we hear this night in fellowship of what Christ has done for us. For we being many are one and one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And the title, the memorial meal, and the ties that binds us together as a church. This church was going strong before I ever become a member, before I ever got saved. And I do believe if these things here, if we keep them in our heart and our mind, the ties that binds this church together, when I'm long gone, there's a lot of people on our memorial board back there is gone, this church will still be a strong and a vibrant church if we do the things that God will tell us to do. And keep in mind that all the time, the ties that bind us, we have a meal together. We're sharing a meal tonight together, and it's called the Lord's Supper. Not something that you do by yourself. I wonder if some Christians confess to be Jesus Christ, how many years, months, and weeks have they come to the Lord's table and partook of the bread and the broken body of our Lord and Savior? How many months and weeks has it been? Because this is something that you do not do by yourself. This is a communion with the church and with fellowship here this hour. These seven commandments is what it's all about. The cross of Calvary. You see, whenever we look at the cross, as we have one back of me, you see that part that goes up and down this way? Well, as we look at that, it goes from earth to heaven, and we can say, Lord, as it points from earth to heaven, there's nothing between you and me, God, before we take this Lord's Supper. And you see the cross arms on it? As he holds out his arms, and that reminds us, Lord, there's nothing between me and my brother or my sister. Get your heart ready and our mind ready. There's nothing between me and God, and there's nothing between me and my brother. And these seven commandments is dealing with exactly that, to prepare our heart for the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Examine himself. That's what we're doing tonight. Any of these seven commandments, if you have failed in them, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. That cross reminds us there's nothing between us and God, nothing between our brothers and sisters. And Lord, I want you to bless me by your presence tonight. Here's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sermon here on this table. And all you got to do is just think back what Jesus Christ has done for us. At this time, we're going to ask Nancy to come as we're going to open the doors of the church before we go into our Lord's Supper. Brother Robert, they're going to be playing, and I'll be standing down here in front. If anybody wants to come, pray. Whatever that you want to do before we partake of the Lord's Supper. The altar is open. Stand, please, while we're doing this. You know, we know there's none of us worthy of taking of this Lord's Supper. We know what Jesus Christ done for us on that cross of Calvary. You know, it says, come just like you are, and he'll cleanse you. Father, we thank you so much for that cleansing blood and that broken body on Calvary's cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. No matter how many times that we have failed and come short so many times, for that cleansing blood, each time we ask him to forgive us, he says, I will and I'll cleanse you. Tonight, we know that we all have failed so many times. But we pray tonight that every heart in this building is made ready, realizing that he is our great Savior and he's the one that cleanses us. Be seated, please.